Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B, trying to upgrade some equipment so you might see the video. If you go to southboundsports.com, you can sign up to see the live stream video on Patreon. If that's looking different, that's why we're upgrading some equipment, and I'm not sure if I have everything set up correctly. So hopefully this sounds good, and if not, I hope I can make adjustments in post. The number one thing that I wanted to talk about before we even get into football is something that's taking sports across the board and just annoying the crap out of me, and that is the new stadium light show. I've seen it like kind of sneak in the last couple of years, right? And it really stood out to me watching Michigan football now, because it seems like we've been playing a couple night games. And the new lights that can instantly dim and come back on are just so annoying and so stupid that I don't understand why this is a new thing, right? I really caught it during the Braves-Phillies game yesterday, where the Braves were down, right? And I'm thinking, they're going to go in an 0-2 hole and they're going to blow the entire year. No, they hit a home run and the Phillies are changing pitchers, right? And they're doing like a light show for the away pitcher. Like the lights are getting dim, the pitcher's running out. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like Atlanta Braves guy? You should be giving them, and maybe it's to psych them out, I don't know, but it almost seems like every light guy got together and they said, we're going to do the same exact thing. And maybe it's not even a guy. Maybe it's just their AI that all the stadiums have the same thing set up. Like AI is like their fake computer program where it's like, you press this button and the lights will play like a Christmas light show. Because that's what it reminds me of. All the lights going dim. I saw it in the NFL. I think it was the Packers-Raiders game Packers-Raiders played last night. And they had it happen in Las Vegas. And I was like, I just can't take it. Like, it's almost like everyone playing the same music. Maybe that's what it was back in the day when they have an organ guy playing, like, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I don't know, but it's driving me nuts, dude. I don't know why, but just having the lights turn off and then you can't see anything on TV. And then I'm assuming in the stadium, like, I've been at the stadium where they've turned the lights out and they've done, like, hey, we're going to do like light shows. So you're going to get a light thing in your seat, pull it up like in the big house. Like, okay, for halftime, that's kind of cool. But like, you really can't see what's going on. And so like turning them off whenever there's like actual gameplay on and flickering them, I think is just kind of like insane to me. It's not a nightclub. You're there to watch a game. The lights are there to let you be able to see what is happening. Why? Why are you doing this? It's probably just me, but have you noticed it? And what are your thoughts?
I have noticed it, and actually I asked about it because when we were in the planning phases at my last school, when they were doing the stadium project, I said, is this going to open you up for liability things if you start doing some flashing light show and someone catches an epileptic seizure?
That could probably be a thing. I doubt they even looked into that, right? Or did they?
I don't think they did.
Because it's only dimming. They're not colored lights, right? I don't think they can do that yet. Let's hope not.
No. But I would just think, like, I would assume that, like, the flashing lights, if someone has a reaction to it, could trigger something.
Oh, 100% it could. If they blame video games for it, flashing lights like that could 100% make you go crazy. Like, even if you just get, like, disoriented and, like, that's the one thing to me. It's, like, not everyone's sitting in their seat at all points of the game. You're going to have at least a handful of people. It's, like, the Hurricanes game reminded me where one of the comments to their game we'll talk about later was, like, dozens of fans were watching that game. Because it was, like, no one in the seats. So, even there, like, you could have however many people getting up out of their seats to go get a beer and you're flicking the lights off on them. And like, can you imagine being drunk? Like just stumbling around in the dark. Because, like, I'm tripped falling in like, stadiums. Like, when you're trying to drink and have fun on the night game, what was that game we were at? Florida State? Was that the Jameis Pitt game? Like, that game was a disaster. So imagine if you were there, that rained that day, too. So it's like rain, you're drinking all day, and then they're flickering the lights at you. Come on.
And then you have a seizure and you pass out and miss the game.
You're like walking out, you kick someone that's passed out in their seat, and then you start a big fight. It's like, what are you doing here? But that's what I thought. Watching baseball, like now they're doing it. And I just really don't get it. It's like, what is it supposed to do for me for baseball? Is it supposed to pump you up? Turning the lights out? I get it at like the intros for like the NBA or the NHL, where they do it, they turn the lights out, and then everyone comes in. But like the celebratory light shows, I think, is what's annoying me. Because it's in the middle. I want to see the players celebrate. They barely let them celebrate. Maybe that's why they did it, for the NFL at least. Where they're like, you're going to score a touchdown, we're going to turn the lights out so we don't see them celebrating. Because if that was their plan, that's a brilliant plan, right? Because they've been trying to get celebrations out of the league for like 10 years, and they finally brought it back like 5 years ago or so. So T.O. and them, they're like, could you imagine letting T.O. do a Sharpie thing when the lights are out? You wouldn't even have any of the photos of it. It's like they zoom in on Garoppolo. His like, it looks like he's going gray now. And the whole time I'm thinking, it's like when the lights are flashing, it's like, bro, just buy some Just for Men gel and just put that in, or ask Ryan Day what he's using. I'm waiting for him to have like the Rudy Giuliani moment where his hair dye just runs down his face while he's yelling about how tough his team is. But that's my baseball bit. I do like, I don't know if you caught this, but now, maybe it was on this last year, but on the HBO app now, you can watch Major League Baseball. It's nice. One of the random apps that I have, I can watch the games. I don't have to worry about blackouts or whatever. I think I can watch them all. And I really have only been watching the Braves and a little bit here and there. But not having the jump through hoops like ESPN, I try to watch Liberty football tonight. I'm like, oh, they're playing against Rich Rod. They're undefeated. One of the 14 undefeated teams we're going to talk about. Try to put it on, it's on ESPNU. Who even still has that? But it's not included in ESPN Plus, so it's like a headache, where maybe HBO will be kind of like Major League Baseball's thing, although I assumed that they were on, what, Apple TV Plus or something like that? Or where else have I been seeing baseball? Maybe it is ESPN Plus. But I think the HBO thing is TBS. So I'm also wondering now if HBO is going to stream the NCAA basketball tournament. Because streaming for that's been going downhill. That's my TV update for the week.
I believe it.
Like, what's going to happen if baseball and HBO take off, and HBO is like a thing where people get to like watch Game of Thrones or whatever their big shows are? Like, that's better than Netflix, man. I mean, Netflix, you get their own shows, but I think like they're doing games now and stuff. And to me, buying a subscription for like Netflix games isn't worth it. Like, I don't understand people paying for video games like that, or even playing video games on Facebook. But that's a different podcast topic. Anything? Do you watch any baseball?
That's a big negative.
Because the Cardinals got eliminated.
The issue that I thought they were going to have at the beginning of the year proved correct. When you don't have pitching, and then you try to address the issue by trading away prospects for pitching, and it still doesn't help, you end up with no bats and no balls.
Well, that's the one thing where people are still telling me like about the Pirates. It's like, What steps have they made that made you think the next year is going to be any different? Like, what have they done? Like, what changes? Because it's like the same with the Braves. Like, I know the Braves had a great year, but their bats go cold in the playoffs. That's it. Like, right? Like, they're hitting all these home runs in the regular season. They were cold until the home run last night to put them in the lead. which was a miracle. It was like the eighth inning, I think. And then they still had to have like a crazy double play to win the game. Because Phillies are running all over. Like, I think the small ball type stuff still works. I'm still amazed that the Braves were hot like a couple years ago and won the World Series. Because like now, even the other team, the Orioles, on the other side, I was thinking, because my buddy's an Orioles fan, I told him, like, if the Braves and Orioles meet in the World Series, we got to go to Atlanta to a game. Like, let's just go. And now the Orioles are down 0-2. And they're losing Game 3 right now, 6-0. Because the Rangers are just raking. So I'm assuming that this series is over. And our plans will already be ruined. 3 games into the AL side. And the Braves weren't doing any better. They both could have been swept for all I, for what I was seeing. The Braves had the pitching. But they come out and the Phillies get base runners. They're stealing bases and stuff. I think the Braves ended up did stealing one base to get to third to try to cut the lead last night before the home run. Or, yeah, before it, I think. And it worked out, luckily. But that's my baseball. I kind of like, I like having the streaming. I like how it's kind of spread out. I wasn't sure about the play-in, like, series or whatever. I didn't really watch much of that. That's why I didn't talk about it last week. But now that the Braves are playing, I'll try to see a little bit more going into next week. But let's get into the NFL stuff. The NFL, I don't even know what I put down here. But the NFL, they've been having the 49ers come out on top and look like they are the best team in the NFC. Because they keep talking about the Cowboys and how the Cowboys might have a little bit of an edge. And that game wasn't even close. Right? So it's like, all right. All right, what do you want to do? The same offensive stuff that I talked about with Dallas happened again. Now, the only thing that stands in the 49ers' way is the Eagles. The Eagles, to me, it's hard to put a finger on them because I don't think they really played anybody yet. They played the Patriots, Vikings, Bucks, Commanders, and the Rams. Which, by the way, did you see the Commanders were getting sued by Native Americans for changing the Redskins' name?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised it took that long, because haven't they been the Commanders for a couple of years?
It's going to be awesome when they have, when they change it back.
They're not going to change it back. It'll be like a throwback, right?
They might change it back.
I don't think they're going to. Don't they have enough problems?
It maybe going back to the Redskins would solve it. It'll just correct. It's like the, like, undoing the bad karma.
Well, to be fair, I always call him the Redskins still. Even his other, I went the opposite way because I always forget, because I don't care enough about them to keep up with the names. Same with like the Bobcats or the Hornets. Like down here when I first moved to North Carolina, they're the Bobcats. That's what I've seen him play as. Not interested in them as the Hornets. Like, it's not 1990s again, bro. So I call him the Bobcats. People look at me like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, I really don't care about basketball enough to know. The Celtics traded for like Drew Holiday. I'm like, all right, Celtics, win the championship. You're not, I'm done with like the hype of these roster moves. Same with the Pirates. I'll bring it back. Oh yeah, look at what we're doing. We're really building. It's like, nah, at some point you have to show up, dude, and do something different. That's so like the Redskins or the Commanders, wherever the hell they are. Like, do something different. It can't be like years of pain and losing. That's why I don't understand the Browns. Like, I really don't understand them. Because Baker Mayfield had them in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game. And they cut him and changed the team overnight. Like, it was like, oh, well, we're going to be better now. No, you're not. You're not better. You're back to being the Browns. And everyone's kind of surprised that Baker right now, that is 3-1 with Tampa Bay. And what if he's actually not bad as a QB? Because you don't have to be awesome. Like, look at Matt Stafford for all those years, right? No one would have said in any of the years that Matt Stafford was the best quarterback in the NFL. when he was with the Lions, right? He just kept plugging it along. People were like, oh, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. That's all Baker has to do is be pretty good. Tom Brady already has those guys turned into winners. And if
Kirk Cousins is making a living in Minnesota right now doing it.
I know. And every year they're talking about, like, what can Minnesota do that's a little bit different? Just be pretty good. That's all you have to do. They talked about the 49ers? They had like a what-if scenario where back in the day, I don't even know, the 49ers had tried to trade for Kirk Cousins or something before the Garoppolo stuff. And it was like, what if that really would have worked out? And he wouldn't have went to Minnesota. Would they have won a Super Bowl? Because 49ers were like always a quarterback away, it seemed like, even going back to the Harbaugh days, right? Because like he almost won with Kaepernick, which is insane when you think about it. And Alex Smith turned out pretty good. But like even Mahomes has been such an upgrade over Alex Smith that Alex Smith got things going in Kansas City, and then Mahomes took over and it's been lights out ever since. It's like the same thing with the Lions right now with Goff. No one's writing Goff down as like the greatest QB of all time. But he's playing good enough that I would consider them right now to be the top four teams, Eagles, Niners, Lions, and Bucks, which is kind of crazy. You could say, like, maybe the Vikings, if they make some moves, like, but, like, the Vikings are so bad right now that, like, they're not going to be there. Green Bay, they talk about, oh, the team's so young. But right now what I'm watching is 100% coaching. Or they're losing Love. Because the game I watched last night was pathetic. They're running the ball. They're running it pretty well. And then all of a sudden they were like, we're going to abandon that. And all we're going to do is throw deep to Christian Watson. Like 100 times. And it's going to be intercepted. But it doesn't matter. Like the other receivers were only targeted like 3 times total. He did dump off to the tight end a bunch, which was kind of surprising because he normally doesn't do that. And I was thinking, like, did they see something in the Raiders where they're just throwing deep on him the entire time? But he wasn't even spreading the ball around. And what we've seen from Tom Brady year after year is Tom Brady's hitting like 9 different receivers in the game. Jordan Love is targeting the same guy over and over. And if they bracket him, it's over. And that's exactly what they did. They bracketed him and they went ahead. And once they had that bracket in place, the game was over. And that was it. He kept trying to go to him. Even the last play of the game, the Packers had a great chance to score. And I know Dobbs dropped the pass right before, but he was open. And I saw their plays where other guys were open. And it was like Garoppolo was kind of doing the same thing, which was killing their team. Because I think Devontae Adams is still hurt. And they were like clearly game planning around him. But he kept throwing to Jacoby Myers. I said it a couple weeks ago. He's like zeroed in on Myers so much that whoever got him in fantasy has to be loving it. Because, like, Hunter Renfrow touched the ball. I forgot he was even on the team. He had one catch. They were like, hey, Hunter Renfrow, he's not really being used much. It's like, he is out there. But Garoppolo is only looking at Jacoby Myers the entire game. And the Packers are tearing him up. So much that if the offense did anything, and I have to blame it on the coach, because they've showed the Packers coach, like, yelling at the tight end for, like, a missed route. It's like, buddy, spread the ball around. You're not helping Love at all. Like, that should have been a very easy Packers win because it looked like they had more pieces and more defense than what the Raiders had. But the offensive play calling was just so bad. And when the Raiders got that go-ahead touchdown, and honestly, the Raiders though could have put it away, they should have ran Jacobs one more time. They needed 1 yard. They missed a field goal. And even the play before, they took Jacobs out and ran a draw with the backup, like the third string. And I know they were doing that as like a decoy. But like, if you're going to do that, throw to Devontae Adams. Like, just throw to your best guy. Like, I really didn't get their play calling. And McDaniels, even the announcers, was like, he's not doing anything the analytics tell him to do. It's like, yeah, I wonder why. Because he sucks. That's all I have to say. Like, I did find it funny on the AFC side that the Jets beat the Broncos, and then that coach that Sean Payton made fun of, like they gave him the game ball, I thought was a little over the top, a little too WWE for my liking, right? Like, I don't care about any of these coaches, right?
Oh, yes, you do. You love the big showmanship. Who are you trying to kid?
I like when Rex Ryan's getting feet massages or whatever he was doing. That's what I like, Matt. I like when you're doing off-the-wall stuff. A guy crying because he got the game ball after the other coach made fun of him is like a soap opera. That's literally the breakdown. If I came into someone and they're like, explain football to me. And I was like, all right, well, one coach made fun of another coach. He cried. And then he beat him. So they gave him the game ball as like a redemption. What would you say to that? It's almost like describing the Golden Bachelor, right? This guy's old. He went through some tough times of life. He cried on TV. Now they're sending a bunch of old ladies out to him.
And he's sending him tributes.
Yeah, and that commercial is everywhere. And I thought, who's this? Who's watching this? But then nursing homes exist, right? So like, I would imagine that a lot of old people are watching that show. Because it was almost like when they revealed the ladies, I was like waiting for them to be like in their 20s. And like, this is going to be crazy. This old guy trying to keep up with these broads, like taking tequila shots and stuff. But no, they're like old ladies complaining about their problems. I thought, this guy's in for a nightmare. He has to hear 12 different ladies complain about things.
Oh, dear.
So that's what it's like when I hear about coaches and their personal lives. Like, unless they're buying ball lifters with the Ohio State credit card, I don't care. Right? I should, if Michigan goes all the way this year, I'll send Zach Smith some congratulations, some thank yous. Because he basically turned it around for Michigan, right? Zach Smith, yep, ruining the Urban Meyer thing basically let Michigan take over. The NFL doesn't have a version of that. They can try to like make a weird Nathaniel Hackett. That's his name, right?
Yep. Like,
who's even named Nathaniel anymore? It's not the 1800s. Like, the fact that I even know his name is insane. I guess he used to be the Broncos head coach, which I didn't even know last year. If you'd asked me, hey, who's the Broncos coach, I'd have been like, it's not John Lynch, right? Isn't he still like the GM? Or no, he's with the Niners, isn't he? I just don't know. I only know coaches or owners that are like over the top, like Robert Kraft, looking for massage parlors, things like that. I don't need to know about coaches crying in the locker room. Like, get real. And it's almost like, this is probably a little bit off topic, but it's almost like what College Game Day turned into, where it's all human interest stories to the point where I don't even watch anymore. Like, have you watched College Game Day?
I haven't had time for it, but occasionally I have.
Well, I've been switching to like just the Fox, whatever the hell they call it, the Big Noon Kickoff. And it used to be all football talk. Like, Urban Meyer would break down football and I'd be like, hey, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. I'm seeing some of the same things, right? About like quarterbacks making reads and like guys not having it. And now they started to do the human interest part. And it's like, guys, what are you doing? I don't want to watch this either. Like, if I wanted to watch that, I would watch the Today Show or something. Isn't that the morning show where they do things like that? I don't need it to be my football Saturday. I want to know like the gambling lines, what's going to happen. The one thing I had on here for the NFL is like, they do the player reports, right? I kind of like how the Big Ten does it a little bit better. And I know the NFL does like, ooh, he's a game time decision. Like Devontae Adams, I shouldn't have to wait till 7:30 to see if he's going to play in the game or not. Like, he know he's playing. If he's practicing on Sunday, he's playing in the game. Right? I feel like the NFL should clean that up a little bit. Where the Big Ten, I think I mentioned in the offseason where they're going to start doing, hey, their injury reports. By noon on Saturday, I knew that Minnesota's top Big Ten running back was out of the game. And I knew this game's over. Like, I have no stress at all over this Michigan-Minnesota game because they gave me the injury report. And the one guy that I thought, hey, this guy, if he's leading the Big Ten, it could have been another Illinois game last year where they had the Big Ten, other Big Ten rushing leader other than Blake. and he kept Illinois in the game, and it was like a tight game where Minnesota loses their guy. It's like, ah, no, this game's over. And I like that because I didn't have to worry all day. And I think they just have the Big Ten has to have him out by the middle of the day. No more worrying like, hey, is this guy going to be limping around like Paul Pierce getting out of a wheelchair and playing? In the NFL, I think they should do something similar, like have a tighter deadline. Like, you know if the guy's going to give it a go. And the NFL still plays around with it late in the year, too. Like Derrick Henry. Oh, he's playing. He gets one carry, and then he's on the bench resting. I mean, Michigan did it last year with Blake Corum against Ohio State, where he came out, ran one play. And it was like he's limping around. And he still got a yard, I think. And I was thinking, God damn. Like, he's not going to play the entire game like that, but what balls, man. I'm probably wrong. He probably lost like 10 yards. I can't remember. But they had like one play as like a decoy running back thing, and then he never came back in. And I thought, like, for the injury report now, would he have been listed as active as like a ploy to Ohio State? Are you going to roll the guy out there that's injured and just have him stand out there? Because every time Devontae Adams took a hit, you could like tell he like grabbed his shoulder. And I'm like, how long is this shoulder injury going to be a thing? Is it going to be the part where he's just the decoy out there running routes? Because, like, your shoulder's injured. They just want to limit tackles on you, right? So, like, all the passes to him were kind of to the sideline where he can get out of bounds. I think there was one slant that he caught, and he got driven into the ground on that shoulder, and he came up, and his shoulder pad was messed up, and he was, like, tugging around on it. And I thought, the Raiders are never going to throw to him again, and they never did. That was it. I saw once they did that, and he got driven in the ground, I thought, they're not throwing to him. So I would like to have a little bit of that more as gambling keeps going, right? Because we've talked about gambling so many times on the show where they keep getting gambling's getting into more and more cities. Just clear it up for the average man. Because like the average guy that's gambling on like Fantasy Pros or whatever the hell they're called, they only know the studs, right? They know Travis Kelce's like limping around out there. He comes out of the game. He comes back in or whatever happens. So that's what I want to see. I want to see more of a clearer injury report going forward. But that's my main thing for the NFL. You have anything you want to talk about for the NFL?
I was actually kind of surprised that Pittsburgh did choke their way out of the game with the Ravens, find themselves in first place with no offense.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about, because like everyone is still hating on Matt Canada, and it's a young team. I really don't. I know some of it is on like the offensive game calling and stuff, but it's the NFL. It's hard whenever the players are not making plays, and I think the big thing, and maybe it is on Canada, the run game still isn't there. Like, the offensive line for the Steelers sucks. They're not running the ball. I was trying to see if I thought I had it up, but this might have went out on me in a sec. I was trying to see, like, hey, what's happening in terms of, like, yards per play. They're getting very low yards per play and things. And some of that is on, I guess, the game plan, but the line isn't giving Pickett any time. He's scrambling around. He's getting absolutely destroyed, right? And I'm wondering, like, what can Matt Canada do? Like, Baltimore was favored to win. They had the lead and the prediction based on, like, the game prediction that the Steelers were going to win, or they're going to beat the Steelers the entire game until the very end. And like Najee Harris, he's getting 2.6 yards a carry. How is that on Matt Canada? Because like he's not making anybody miss. And I like Najee Harris, but maybe he's not the guy. Because at some point in the NFL, you have to have the players. And Jaylen Warren looked better to me. And I'm wondering, is he going to start taking over as the lead back? Because when Warren was in the game, he's spinning around. He's making guys miss. Najee Harris is running into the line and getting stopped for a yard. And then that's it. And they're feeding him 14 times a game. And I know that's not because Matt Kenneth is saying, well, we just got to feed the beast and hopefully he gets going. It's like, nah. But like even Pickett's like QBR is low because he's constantly throwing incompletions. And the one touchdown, or the one, it was like one of the plays before. They had the route that was like a touchdown and the guy tripped or whatever. There were two guys that were open on that play. Well, I thought the guy in the back was more open and Pickett tried to throw to the other guy. And he, of course, he stumbled and he overthrew him anyway. So even if he didn't stumble, the pass didn't look close on TV. I don't know about in person. We had a friend at the game. And they said, like, it looked like if he didn't trip, he might have caught it. But in TV, it didn't look close. And I just wondered, like, what is he looking at? That he's overthrowing the guys that are wide open. And, like, even if just put a little bit of air on it. Because they were so open that it was, like, worst case scenario, you throw it out of the end zone. You threw a bullet that went out of the end zone anyway. Like, you gave your guy no chance. And that's what I like to see from Pickett. I know he's young. But I think if they get rid of Canada, it's just a scapegoat. I think the NFL will kind of be like, oh, we're going to push you down and you're going to just become back to like college. But he wasn't really bad in college either. Like his offense scored tons of points at Maryland. Like they almost beat Ohio State that year. They like went, I don't know if they went for two and the guy was wide open. He missed it, right? So like Maryland doesn't beat Ohio State ever, let alone put up 40 points on him or whatever that game was. And have a chance to win with the two-point conversion if the guy completes the pass. Like, that was all Matt Canada when he was, like, interim head coach or whatever. Now Maryland's scoring, like, 17 on Ohio State. If Canada was there and they put up 40, they probably would have beat Ohio State last weekend. The offense puttered out and had too many turnovers. Like, can't throw a pick six to Ohio State. Like, that's insane. So, like, that's the one thing that's, like, Canada's always been kind of in bad situations. And unfortunately, when he gets there, Ben was still there when he got there, right? Ben's not running your offense. And so it's hard to get the other guys to buy in. And then when guys just aren't producing at a level that's like consistent. But maybe he could mix it up. Like the Raiders, or no, maybe it was the Packers. One of the teams last night, they ran like jet sweep like a million times. I think it was the Packers. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, you're running the ball consistently up the middle. Or no, maybe it was the Raiders because they weren't feeding Jacobs at first. But they did it enough that it opened things up and then he started running good. And I thought that could work with Najee Harris. But if he doesn't have it, if he can't, like, find the hole and explode through in the NFL, you're never going to have it. I mean, running backs, that's why they're a dime a dozen. That's why they're all getting together on Twitter and stuff and trying to get people to pay them more. Right? I mean, honestly, that's the truth. Because people are seeing the running backs. They know that they're like a dime a dozen. And even the good ones like McCaffrey, yeah, he's going crazy and doing all this stuff, but I'm still waiting for him to get hurt. I'm surprised he wasn't hurt last night or two nights ago, whenever that was. Because he went down after a shot. And I thought, there you go. McCaffrey's injury. But no, he's playing with the Niners now. So he never gets injured. It's crazy to me. Crazy. But that's my NFL thing. Anything else you want to hit on with the Steelers?
There's been a call on Pickett's touchdown that they show like the screen of like the touchdown play and then Canada's reaction. Like, do you think that Pickett audibled the play or do you think that there was something else going on?
I don't know. I didn't see the screen. Was he upset?
Like they show like the play that Pickett threw the touchdown pass and like, he just has a real like straightforward demeanor, like almost mad that like the play may have been changed or may not have.
Well, to be honest, he just threw deep. He had single coverage. I would think that that's what he was supposed to do, right?
That's what I'm thinking. He changed the protection, like with the video that I saw. And I just feel like if you're the offensive coordinator of the Steelers and literally everyone is screaming in the stands to fire you, like it's hard to be able to celebrate in any scenario. It's like, I need to get out of here.
I know. That's why I thought they're chanting Fire Canada at the Pens game tonight. Did you see that? And it's like,
it's just everywhere.
Well, it's like a scapegoat thing, because they're going to fire him, right? Because once the fans start getting into it, he's done. And they're talking about, like, oh, the passing game is non-existent. Matt Canada, he's going to be gone. It's like, who are you bringing in that's going to, like, have Pickett not throw incompletions? Like, if the guys aren't getting separation, they've had a turnstile at wide receiver, right? And even some of the ones that were there when Canada was there, like Claypool was better with the Steelers than what he's doing now. He's floating around the multiple teams.
He's going to tight end now.
So it's like, look at the receivers that they have this year. How many have they had that's been consistent? It's hard to build something whenever you're getting a brand new receiving core. And that's not just a knock on Pickett either. I'm not trying to make a knock on Pickett. It's hard to have timing if you don't have receivers to practice with. It's like the old Aaron Rodgers thing. Last year, a bunch of new rookie wide receivers. Aaron Rodgers wasn't at practice. First couple weeks, he was way out of sync with them. And he's like, yeah, these new guys got to really, I really got to get on a page with them. It's like, yeah, no shit, you didn't go to practice. What are you talking about? So it's like the Steelers are the same thing. It's like, we're not going to pay our guys anymore, but we expect to win. And they're in first place. Chanting to get rid of an OC when you're in first place is insane to me. It's hard to win in the NFL. Do you want to be the Redskins? Do you want to be the Browns? Heck, even the Bengals now with Burrow, they've been so bad that I've been spooked out of playing like their kicker, because I don't know if they're going to score in fantasy, which cost me the game last week. Actually, Dobbs dropping that ball cost me the game. One catch I would have won. I lost by 1 point. If they wouldn't have took.
Yeah. Thanks for the help.
Bro, I can't do anything right this year. It's like all of my luck went into winning last year, which I'll gladly take. The most championships in the league. Like, can't pass that up, right? So now I'm in my Urban Meyer in the NFL thing where nothing's going right. And then maybe that's what happened to him, too. Got lucky with Cardale Jones in the NFL. Or in college, and then he went to the NFL and he sucked. And then Michigan State's trying to hire him, which would be funny. Although, speaking of Michigan State, what was Tom Izzo's quote this week? He said he hates the transfer portal. This is unrelated to the NFL or anything. Tom Izzo said that players shouldn't transfer just because they're unhappy. He said, I'm unhappy most of my life. Could you imagine? Hey, coach, I'm really unhappy here. He's like, you don't think I am too? We're at Michigan State, for God's sakes. Like, man, I need to get out of here. He should have went to the NBA when he had a chance. But it's funny. It's like the players are unhappy. He's unhappy. No wonder their guys never leave. Because I always wonder, like, when Michigan State's guys, like, they never seem to go pro early, like Michigan or like some of the other programs, like Kentucky. Because, like, Michigan should not be having guys jump pro earlier than guys at Michigan State. Like, that's insane. Like, Michigan State should have guys like Kentucky that are going pro. But instead, they're staying. And I'm always wondering why. And it's probably like, coach, I'm thinking of going pro. He's like, well, you're just going to be miserable there. Look at me. Once you go pro, you're going to be miserable. Like, that has to be the selling point that he's doing. Right? Because why else would players be like, I don't know if I want to be a working man clocking in. Look at coach. He hates it. He's just here. So that's my new take on them. And like the Mel Tucker thing, dude, because we can transition into college now. I don't even know what to believe, because like it's such an insane story that it gets crazier that her assistant was texting her about like coach relationships so much that her assistant got sick and like died unexpectedly. So the accuser went to her assistant's house and tried to sleep in her bedroom to delete old messages, is what the latest charge is. Like, can you believe that? Like, could you imagine? Because, like, I don't think her assistant was married, at least based on what I read. But, like, could you imagine if, like, your boss, Matt, or, like, even someone, you know, like, a friend of yours, like, they died, and their boss was like, hey, I'm going to go sleep at their house. You can't make that up. Right? No. So it's, like, red flags everywhere. And on both sides. Because, like, Mel Tucker's staying, he was still fighting Michigan State. They were like, yeah, you're still on with a university vendor doing inappropriate things on probably university equipment, right? So, like, he has no leg to stand on from my point. He's trying to get his payout. I'm assuming they're going to settle somewhere in the middle. So, crazy for Michigan State. But the fact that some of their boosters are calling for Urban Meyer, I thought that would be such a Michigan thing. To have a guy that clearly hates Michigan go to another Michigan rival. Urban would make it his entire job just to beat Michigan. Because that's all Michigan State cares about. If Michigan State beats Michigan this year, they won't even care. They'll probably make the interim the coach. Right? Like that, yeah. That's all they live for at this point. I really don't get it. They were like, some of the names they were throwing around, like I read some of the comments from their fans, and it was like, this guy could beat Michigan. Like, the entire thing was all about that. It wasn't about, like, hey, like, when Michigan was going through their coaching hire, and, like, you knew I was calling for Harbaugh the entire time, I was thinking, like, what guy can take Michigan to the playoffs and possibly a national championship? Maybe the guy coaching in the Super Bowl, right? Like, that seems like the guy that can get it done. It's like Michigan State's coaching search. They're like, we just need a guy that can beat Michigan. Like, that's it. I mean, I know Michigan, like, I would like them to get a guy that can beat Ohio State. That's always nice. But with the expanded playoff, it should be, I think your thing should be like, who can get us in the playoffs? Who can win some games? Right? Because, like, Miami with Cristobal, I was saying, like, I didn't see it. I'm pretty sure that was my stance on the record. Like, I didn't understand the hype for him. I know he was like a golden boy coming back. And I had people tell me, like, oh, you're just, it's the same as when Harbaugh came back. But the Harbaugh thing was, he was successful at Stanford. No one is successful at Stanford. He built a program in such a way that David Shaw was able to run with it. And it took years before the wheels fell off. Right? Stanford's bad now because they were so many years removed from, like, the Harbaugh culture. I don't think they're ever going to get it back. Maybe David Shaw, like, kind of lost it somewhere along the way. I'm not saying David Shaw is a bad coach. But somewhere he was able to take what Harbaugh built, and it was so sustainable that they ran with it for a few years after. That's what I think any coach should aspire to do. And then he went to the 49ers, and they were kind of the same thing. He built that, the toughness that the 49ers have, that was all built by Harbaugh. The only blip was because they tried to do an internal coach hire, and the locker room was split. Half the players were against Harbaugh because the owner was talking trash on him. Half the players were for Harbaugh. That was never going to work, right? Once they brought in an outside guy, they've been fine, and they've kept that toughness to where people are considered, like, the 49ers, like, one of the toughest teams in the league. Like, that used to be, like, the Ravens, right? With their Harbaugh. So maybe it's like a brother trait. Where now with Cristobal, where has he had success like that? Nowhere. I mean, not a lot of coaches win in the NFL. Heck, Nick Saban didn't win in the NFL. Do you really think after he failed at the Dolphins that Alabama fans were like, oh, great, this is our guy? Because they almost had Rich Rod, and Rich Rod went to Michigan instead. What if that never happened?
Now he's losing to Liberty.
Is Liberty take the lead?
17-13.
So it's like, what if things are, like, slightly different? I don't think Nick Saban would have went to Michigan instead. They would have hired Les Miles. Maybe they get a championship with Les. I don't know. Maybe Nick Saban goes somewhere else and has a dynasty. Could you imagine if he, like, landed in Texas or something after Mac Brown? That would be annoying, right? Texas losing to Oklahoma was like, I saw it happening. And I told you, like, this is going to be big. You better be careful, though, because Oklahoma's going to jump Florida State, which they almost did. They're one behind, aren't they?
Yep.
I told you, the Texas hype because they beat Bama, and now makes I told you, one of the articles I read by one of the voters actually said that he would vote Oklahoma, too. I don't know if he did, because that game was pretty close. But like I said, if you think Oklahoma's that good, then vote them like 6 or 7 going into the game. Like if you're like, I think they could beat Texas, but they're probably a little bit worse. It was like, no, I'm going to vote them 12. I'm going to make them jump 10 spots to number 2. But in terms of the undefeated teams right now, the big dogs, Michigan and Georgia, both showed up. And Georgia blew out Kentucky, which Kentucky, I understand they're ranked, but that's like just beating another team that's like highly ranked, usually not highly ranked. I mean like lower ranked, like in the 20s in the Big Ten. Not that big of a deal. I don't care that Kentucky was like ranked whatever. Georgia should have killed them, and they did. They took care of business, didn't let them hang around. Michigan did the same thing with Minnesota. Minnesota, I think it was the second play, they threw a pick six, and I thought, oh, this game was over fast. Because I knew they had no chance. And the funny thing was, I read some of the Minnesota, like, they did like a fan take after the game. And they're like, hey, people that were at the game, give your thoughts. And people were like, it was weird watching another Big Ten team have their third stringers have successful plays against our starting defense. Because it was almost like a scrimmage. Like all, I think almost every player that traveled to the game played in the game except for the backup long snapper, Matt. 73 out of 74 or something they said on the broadcast. In an opposing stadium. I didn't realize Minnesota had been that bad because I remember their like running back tandem and stuff like that. They haven't beat Minnesota or they haven't beat Michigan in Minnesota since like 1977 or something like that. And they haven't beat Michigan at, like in the Big House since like the 80s. I'm like, those are Indiana numbers. What are you guys doing? We play for a trophy. Like, are you serious? Like, ah, we even lost to Maryland and Rutgers with Brady Hoke. Like, you guys couldn't get one? I just don't get it. I don't understand how Minnesota, PJ Fleck was like, yeah, that was, he didn't even say anything after the game. He actually just complimented Michigan the entire time about how good they were and how that was might have been the best team he's ever coached against. And after that display, I would believe it. And the way Michigan's schedule is lining up, other than the Michigan State game, which is a wild card to me because you never know like what they're going to do, especially after like the tunnel incident last year. But like they play Indiana, they play Michigan State, maybe play Purdue. And this isn't the Jeff Brohm Purdue. Because let's give him a shout out. He turned Louisville around pretty quick. Remember, last year he won the Big Ten West at Purdue. He had some successful plays against Michigan in that championship game. They just didn't have the depth. Remember the fake flea flicker? Brilliant. Unfortunately, he wasted it last year at Purdue. Could you imagine if he had that for the ACC championship game, if they play like Florida State or something, he ran a fake flea flicker for a touchdown. They didn't get the touchdown against Michigan, but they did pick up a first down, I think. It was like a 10-yard run. I thought that was a great play because Michigan ran right by him as he did like the fake pitch and ran in. So Brohm can draw stuff up. Beating Notre Dame, I'm still not sure on. They beat him worse than what Ohio State did. But it's still Notre Dame. I bring that up because Notre Dame plays another undefeated team, USC, this week. They get him at home. USC looked bad. I'm still shocked people are voting them in the top 10. They should have lost to Arizona. Arizona's not even good. Like, Arizona has been a mess since Rich Rod got fired. So, like, having Arizona take you to, like, triple overtime, and they were, like, 3-2 coming into the game. They were 1-2 in the Pac-12, or they were 1-1, I guess, coming in. But you should not be going into triple overtime against Arizona at home. It was a home game for USC. That's the difference right now from what I've seen from Georgia and Michigan. I know Georgia's been in some close games, but they put them away. Michigan's been putting teams away. I brought up Texas coming into the game. I knew they had a good chance to lose. I didn't want to jinx them because they couldn't put Wyoming away. I did talk about it, I think it was last week, when I said Wyoming threw the pick six, they really turned the game around, but it was already the fourth quarter. At that point, what's the difference? right? So you have two teams that are blowing teams out in Georgia and Michigan. And then I think everything else is up for grabs. Like, I'm not 100% sure, going down through this list, on who's going to be the top team in the Pac-12. I think we find out this week. Oregon plays Washington. Both are undefeated. I could see USC losing to Notre Dame. And whoever the winner is between Oregon and Washington, I kind of favor Washington, just because I think Penix is a better quarterback than Bo Nix. What do you think?
I've been thinking about it, and I go back and forth. I'm kind of leaning a little bit more toward Oregon, just because of the numbers that Bo Nix has been putting up.
And I think Oregon has more depth, and they have the consistent program stuff where they're well-rounded enough as a program culture that they almost remind me at this point of Wisconsin, where it's like, with Luke Fickell, Wisconsin should have been like having a rebuild type year. They're doing a brand new offense, but like, they have the systems in place that the offense is close enough, even though they're more of a spread now, where Oregon, it's kind of like, yeah, they're all running some version of spread, and they have athletes to get out in space and make people miss, and they have good pass rushers now, which I think is something that they missed when they played Ohio State that year in the national championship, where it's like, yeah, they didn't really have the defense, and Ohio State, they couldn't stop them. And so like, now they seem like they've built that up. Washington's more built from like a pro style, though, and having them just throw it around is an interesting match. I don't even know what I would bet, like the over under, because I could see it going either way. Could be 17-14. It could be a shootout where it's like 48-44. It depends on like, are they getting chunk plays or are they not? But I think that's definitely, for me, that obviously that's game of the week. You could say USC, Notre Dame, but like, Notre Dame lost their loss. They're getting killed by Louisville. They're done, which should give you a sigh of relief, right? Because now there's no way they can steal, most likely, Florida State's bowl bid if they end up doing well. The other ones that are undefeated, Florida State plays Syracuse at home. If they lose to Syracuse after North Carolina just killed them, I think there should be some red flags. I'm still not sure on Florida State, because they let Virginia Tech back in the game. They let them within, what, 5? Every time I turn the game off, I check the score, and I'm like, how the hell are they back in the game? Virginia Tech sucks. It's like the same as Boston College. Like, these aren't good teams. So I'm not sure what Florida State's doing. I don't know if they're getting bored and they're letting the foot off the gas, but they don't. That's the separation I have between them and like a Georgia and Michigan. If Florida State, they should be throttling these teams. Maybe not as bad as what Michigan's doing, just because Michigan has more of like the experienced guys back. And I know Florida State, other than like Jordan Travis, some of their guys are still young, but like, they should bury Syracuse. North Carolina had no trouble burying them. I think this is going to be the difference for me. And if I'm looking at the ACC in the driver's seat right now, North Carolina plays Miami after Miami's meltdown. I'm going to say that North Carolina beats them. Louisville plays Pitt. Louisville's the wild card because they're kind of slipping through. And I've been trying to see what the tie-breaking scenarios are going to be. And right now, it looks like North Carolina might have the top tiebreaker. And at that point, if there's a three-way tie, it would come down to Florida State and Louisville. This is based on the Tar Heels, one of their sites down here, where they're talking about it. So I could be wrong. And maybe it wasn't updated after last week. I can't remember when I read it. But that was my question to you. They don't play each other. Do you think that helps or hurts? Like, the ACC championship, if they have three undefeated teams, only one's getting in the playoff, right? I mean, I guess it depends on how the other things shake out.
I mean, to me, the plan is still the plan. For Florida State to get in, they have to go undefeated. And I think one of the things that you look at with their games right now is that they're still causing a lot of unnecessary penalties. Now, I say that with the understanding that some of the big plays of Virginia Tech came off of not penalties, but not called penalties. Like there was an interception that was called back on a questionable late hit, and then they followed it up with a clear block in the back that Virginia Tech ended up scoring on. It was like, how do you go ticky tack on one and no call on the other? And that's just the normal, like, bias toward or against Florida State. And I don't know if, and I've seen it this way for so many years that I've just accepted there's just not good officiating crews in the ACC. And I know it's easy to point the finger at them, but when you look at the film week in, week out, and there's consistently plays that happen that Florida State's getting penalized for and other teams are not, and it's typically really unbalanced with the way that the penalties go. Part of me says it's trying to keep the players playing aggressive, which you want, but trying to find that balance of not going so incredibly insane that it takes you out of games. And, you know, I look at the LSU game. They played physical. They played toe-to-toe with them and played well. And I think people say, oh, well, they don't really have a strong strength of schedule. I mean, at the time, it was a top matchup that people were speculating LSU was going to contend for SEC championship and potentially the playoffs. So I think it's hard to look at that strength of schedule after the fact. I think you've got to take some consideration into where they're at when that game's played, because if you end up getting banged up and then you lose games after that matchup, I mean, you could easily say go the other way with it too and sit there and say, well, they win that game and then everyone's more motivated and bought in. What's to say they don't rattle off 4 or 5 wins after that?
Well, so you got to be careful, because if you're going to go that route, then you're going to help Ohio State out with Notre Dame. And like that's going to be the team that's probably up against like a Florida State type comparison. Because like we laid it out where the top teams right now, let's say if Georgia and Michigan or Ohio State, one of the Big Ten teams, they went out, I think they're a lock. And now if Georgia loses, things kind of open back up. If it's to one loss Alabama, then of course Bama just takes their spot or whatever. Bama hasn't looked good. I don't care what the SEC writers keep saying. They haven't looked good. And I don't think the SEC West is that strong. So I also don't think they're going to be challenged. They made a stupid coaching mistake too. We talked about the Miami didn't knee. They were up. I don't even know if we actually talked about it. I hinted at it early in the show. So there were two coaching blunders last week. Nick Saban's didn't get a lot of press. So I don't even know if you saw this. But A&M, Alabama could have just ran the clock out. Instead, on first down, they threw a pass with like a minute left in the game. And it was incomplete, so it stopped the clock. And then it gave A&M a chance to get the ball back with like 10 seconds. When all Alabama had to do, just run the ball. If they would have ran it out, A&M had no chance to even come and score to win the game. Which it added like a weird mix of like, what the hell is Nick Saban doing? Is he losing it on the sideline like right now? But of course, Miami, in a situation where they're in the game, they're up by like, what, 4 or something, and they have the ball. There's 40 seconds left. It's third down. All they have to do is let it just take a knee and let it run down to 0, and it's over.
Yeah.
Instead, they run it, and the running back, he's hit. All he has to do is go down. And instead, he's fighting for more yards. And I know that's like a toughness thing that Cristobal's doing. And this is why I've said, like, I wasn't high on Cristobal coming in, because he wasn't like a guy at Oregon that really put them over the top, right? Like, they haven't been winning the Pac-12 championship with him as coach. Like, Utah's been winning, right? It's like Miami getting him and being pumped about it. It was like a weird flex to me. Of like, yeah, our boy's coming home. And I had brought up the Harbaugh comparison earlier, because it's like, oh yeah, you mean the Harbaugh that was winning the Pac-12 with Stanford? and going to like Orange Bowl or whatever the hell they had and recruiting guys like Andrew Luck and then going to the Niners and taking them to three straight NFC championships in a Super Bowl appearance where they almost won if Kaepernick hits Crabtree with that pass. It's like, oh yeah, that guy, yeah, of course Michigan fans are pumped about him. It's like, what'd Cristobal do? He coached at Oregon. It's like the same thing with Willie Taggart. It's like, yeah, he coached at Oregon. Like, okay, is Oregon, like, it's not Alabama. Guys, calm down. And the same thing with Sarkisian, too. The media loves him for whatever reason. Maybe it's because he was a drinker, right? Like, I honestly don't. Like, I guess he pumped Washington up, but Washington was better with Chris Peterson, to me, right? Then he went to USC, didn't do shit there. Now I went to Texas, not doing shit there, Matt. So it's like, oh, okay. Awesome. Like, is Texas winning the Big 12? No. Like, I don't understand the hype. And then he's going to go into the SEC, but yet he's getting top recruits because it's Texas and they're throwing $250,000 at recruits on visits. The NCAA doesn't care because Texas, the state of Texas, said that they'll just sue them. Meanwhile, Harbaugh's getting looked at for a cheeseburger. They're talking about making Harbaugh the highest paid coach in the Big Ten. Conveniently waiting till after Mel Tucker got fired, right? So I wonder what that number is going to be. But maybe that locks him in. I watched the Vikings do nothing last week, and I was like, their administration at the Vikings honestly picked this guy over Harbaugh. The Vikings team that was built around the run, a perfect Harbaugh fit. Harbaugh knew it was a perfect fit. Kirk Cousins, a quarterback that's like managing the game, it would have been perfect for Harbaugh's offense. Nope. They decided to go this other guy, and he's blowing it completely up. So, and I don't mind because Michigan's looking really good. And it's almost like scary good is what one of the announcers said. It was like the NBC crew to me is so weird because you probably haven't watched really any NBC games, but I don't know what they're going for. They got like a bunch of younger Big Ten guys, like a Penn State guy, an Ohio State guy. I don't remember their names. I think the Penn State guy was maybe Michael Robinson. Was he the old quarterback? Maybe not. Maybe it's not even the same guy. I really don't know. And then there was one other guy, and then Maria Taylor, I think, which she's also doing NFL stuff. So it's really weird how she has all this time. I don't know how she does it all. But the Ohio State guy, after the Michigan game, they like asked him about the game, and he's like, he looked like he was like so shocked that Michigan was that good that I thought this is an Ohio State guy that looks like he's in complete shock. It's almost like when Michigan beat Ohio State last year and Urban Meyer didn't know what to do. That's what this guy looks like. So that made me think, hey, Michigan probably is really good this year because this guy's not even putting any doubt. He's just like, that was so good of a team. I don't even know what to say. I thought great commentary by NBC right now. I could go out there and just talk random things. Like, I'm sure other things could happen from Minnesota side that you could talk about. But, oh well. We'll see what happens. I think real quick here, the last couple undefeated teams. Oklahoma's on a bye. Ohio State plays Purdue. I said Jeff Brom's not their coach anymore. That should be a win. Penn State plays Massachusetts. Is that Don Brown? If Don Brown upsets them, dude, that would be insane.
Well, especially being the Penn State's like 95-point favorites.
Well, Penn State's the other team that it's like they've been putting teams away, but they let them hang around, and I'm like, well, I got to give them the benefit of the doubt because they're playing like that's how Georgia's been playing, and they've been putting teams away. And Michigan at the beginning of the year, like they were letting some of the younger teams hang around. And I think I joked with you over text that like Bowling Green now, Miami losing that game to Georgia Tech, Bowling Green had beat Georgia Tech. So Michigan's strength of schedule went up to like 30 or 40 or something because of strength of record. And I was laughing so hard because all Miami had to do was run the ball. And everyone's like, oh, the ACC is so good. They have all these great teams. And it's like Bowling Green beat that Georgia Tech team by 11. Like Georgia Tech's not even good. So down here now, people are kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll see how it happens with the ACC. That's why I was questioning you. Like, if legit they have three undefeated teams in the ACC, because they could with this new schedule. They don't play each other.
So it's plausible, but I think the odd team out in that scenario is likely Louisville.
But I'm saying, what if the other conferences all have one loss? It's very, I've been saying the whole time that I wouldn't be surprised if the Big Ten had 3 1-loss teams. Are they going to really put a 1-loss Big Ten team in when you have 3 undefeated ACC teams? Are they going to put, I mean, the Big 12 is already there. If Texas beats Oklahoma, they're a 1-loss team. Are they going to get in over like 3 undefeated teams?
I think the undefeated teams are going to be pushing more. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to give you 3 ACC teams.
Well, one of them would get a loss in the championship game. But you would have 2 undefeated ACC teams. You can't go in the past and say, well, the SEC and Big Ten both had multiple teams get in, but the ACC, sorry, dogs, you're out. Because like if Florida State, I think, I just looked it up. I think Florida State would beat Louisville, and it depends on who wins, because Louisville has Virginia, and they do not have Clemson. So the UNC thing was saying that UNC has, at the time, they play like a lot of the same teams as Florida State. But the other team that they had, like Pitt and Virginia Tech on Florida State side, is going to be worse than right now Georgia Tech and Virginia, which makes sense. So UNC should be the number one seed, I think. I can't remember. I'm doing this off on the fly, so I might be missing some teams that they have the same. But either way, Louisville doesn't play Clemson, so that should make them the odd man out. They did beat Notre Dame, though. That was a top 10 win at the time. They still play Kentucky. Well, I know Georgia crushed them, but that's as an SEC team. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like if Louisville, the rest of their schedule is not tough. Pitt, an injured Duke, Virginia Tech, Virginia, that same Miami team, and then Kentucky. Like I wouldn't be shocked if the teams that Louisville has really struggled with, like in NC State, they won. They could have lost that game. Notre Dame, they won. It really comes down to probably Miami and Kentucky at the end of the year. They could very easily be 10-0 going to Miami. And you know Miami doesn't have any fans. So is that really a threatening place to play? That's more of a neutral site game. Unless you're going to argue me on that point. They panned a celebration in the stadium. It's like no one's even there. People don't even know this game exists. If it wasn't for TV, no one would know how Miami lost that game.
But there was one point, though, that drove me absolutely crazy. And for as fluky of a play that Georgia Tech hit on for the go-ahead score, it was almost for naught. Because as the player is going into the end zone, he starts to like slide into the end zone. And they reviewed it on the field as a confirmed touchdown. But, I mean, that was like a toe away from just sliding at the one and just being down at the one, game over.
Well, that's the one thing where I did see it, and I thought in real time, he almost like, I don't know if he like slid or he fell or he was celebrating. But I thought, like, that's crazy. Just do, like, I don't understand why players get too excited. Like, I go back to, like, the Desmond Howard, where he runs all the way to the end zone goal post before he does his Heisman pose, because that's where the cameraman is. Maybe that's old school thinking. But these young guys are, like, ready to celebrate right at the goal line and losing the ball. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? That was a classic play. And if you muck it up, they can't include that on any highlight reel.
Yeah.
So I thought the same thing as you when I saw it. I was like, that guy, did they review that? Because I only saw the highlight because there was another weird ESPNU game or something where I put it on and then it was like, oh, yeah, you actually don't have access to this with a minute left. And I thought, oh, well, they're running the clock out, so they won. Nope. Not so fast, nope. Man. So, but that's it. The other teams like Liberty, they're winning right now. They're probably going to pull this one out. James Madison will zero back in when they get to like 8-0. I want to see some of these other teams because I like all undefeated teams to make it for the record. If Louisville runs a table, they should absolutely be in. I don't care that Texas beat Alabama. If Texas is one loss to Oklahoma is in the thing and they're up against a Louisville team that ran the table, even if they don't get to play in the ACC game because the conferences are too big now, they should get the bump. An undefeated team should have to lose first before they can't play for the title. I don't care what conference they're in. Because undefeated teams don't happen very often. Right? If Georgia runs a table and they're the overall one seed, they should get the benefit of playing a weaker Louisville team if that's what's perceived. Texas had their chance to run the table. They didn't do it. So that's my final thought. You have anything else you want to add before we roll out of here?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Hopefully the show sounded good. I'll review it. And thanks for listening. If there's anything you notice, let me know. And we will see you next week.